Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Father, we are so thankful tonight as we come to your house for your presence. God, for your house, Lord, that we can come to, we can meet up with you. Tonight, God, we don't want to leave the same. We want to leave better than when we came in. Build our lives in the things of God tonight. Give us your wisdom and your grace to accomplish your will. Father, we don't look to man. We look to you, oh God. We thank you that your spirit is our teacher. So lead us tonight. Teach us, train us, raise us up to where you want us to be, God. May we grow healthy and strong and, Lord, mature in the things of God. To that end, Father God, we give you thanks. We give you praise, God. We ask you bless all the churches having a midweek, God, all the youth groups that are gathered, Lord, all of the Bible studies and small groups, God. If people are gathered together in your name tonight, bless them just as you would bless us. Father, we do lift up to you the persecuted church, God. I know in India they just was a pastor that was murdered, Lord, and they're saying that it wasn't, they never attached it to religious persecution, but word from the locals is that it was, God, and that this was a lesson for others. But God, I pray, Lord, that the church would not be silent, that they would not be in fear, but that, God, that they would more boldly proclaim the word of God, and that the word of God would spread in these times. God, I thank you, Father God, that the church is like a rose. The more you step on it, the more fragrance comes out, God. And so I thank you, Father God, that you're building your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for peace in our land. In Jesus' name, we're all agreement, we say, amen, amen, amen. As you're having a seat, get your Bibles and go with me. You can start in the book of Hebrews if you like, Hebrews chapter 10. You know what, just pick a place. We'll get there eventually, all right? Tonight, I want to talk to you about the deeper life of holiness. This is a part number two. If you missed part number one, I would encourage you to go online and get a hold of that message in our message archive or YouTube or the podcast, however you like getting your messages. Get a hold of that message. It will bless you. But I want to just review quickly. Remember last time we were together, we saw in the life of three successive kings that there was a first king, he was unprepared. His heart was not prepared to seek the Lord. Therefore, the Bible says that he was an evil king. His son, even though he had something good that went on in his life, the Bible says that his heart was not faithful to the Lord. And therefore, it determines at the end of his life that he was also an evil king. Finally, the grandson. His heart didn't stay fully committed to the Lord all his days. He had 35 years, if you remember, of peace because he relied on the Lord. But at the end of his life, as things started to wind down, he didn't rely on the Lord, and it ended up costing him dearly. In fact, I was just reading this morning more of that story and how he had not relied on the Lord when an army came against him, and then when illness came against him, he didn't rely on the Lord either. And it's almost as if God was saying, hey, you know what? We can mess up. We can have times and moments where maybe we're not doing the right thing, but there's always room for repentance. There's always something that we can do to follow after God. What am I saying tonight? Here's really what we saw, is that we must be prepared to seek the Lord with a faithful heart all our days. This is where we landed last time, and I want to just remind you of this statement. It's up there on the overhead screens, and so if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Some people like to take a snapshot of it, and that way they've got it there in their phones. But really, this is what we landed on last time together, that we must be prepared to seek the Lord with a faithful heart all our days. That's why the development of the heart is so important, that we would develop a tender heart towards the things of God. In fact, every morning when I pray for you, I pray that we would have the wisdom of God upon us, that God would double his wisdom upon our lives and really just bless us and give us more than enough of what we need. And I pray this prayer for you, and I pray this prayer for me. And I pray that we would have faithful and tender hearts towards the will and the way of the Lord, that the word of God would be received in our hearts. Because if we can be prepared to seek the Lord, what does that mean? That means that we will have a faithful heart all our days, and God will be with us, and God will do great and mighty things in our lives. That shows us that there's a preparation for holiness. It's predetermined. If you're preparing for something, that means that you're predetermined. My wife, she is a planner. Any planners in the building today? All right? I'm more like, spontaneous. Let's go to the beach. Well, we need this, we need that, we need this, we need that. I'm like, I just want to go. Let's not worry about towels and, whether or not we're getting in the water and who cares if we get wet or whatever, sand and all that kind of stuff. Whereas my wife's like, nah, I need sunscreen. I need a hat. I need this. I need that. What are we doing? Where are we going? Which beach are we even going to? I said, I'm just going to drive west until I hit something. When I get wet, I'm going to stop. That's where I'm at. But when it comes to holiness, we can't just be spontaneous. We have to be prepared, and it's predetermined. Could it be that we are unholy because we are unprepared? When I look at my life and I look at the moments that maybe I'm ashamed of, the things that I might say, I'd do that over again, or you know what, God could have done something great there. What was going on in my life? I was unprepared for it. I wasn't taking it as seriously as I ought to. I wasn't thinking about it. I wasn't planning for it. And so in our lives, we need to be prepared. This is why we come to church, to prepare us for the obstacles that are ahead. What does Ephesians 4 say? That you come for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. You're coming into church not just to look at Pastor Dan preach a message, or whoever's up here in this platform to entertain you or to give you the Holy Ghost goosebumps. No, this is an equipping time that we're putting something into you. Why? So that you're prepared when you walk out of those doors tonight and this weekend and anytime you come to church, that you're going to walk out of there prepared to live a holy life. That's the work of the ministry that you're carrying on. What are you going to do when temptation comes? Are you going to have your spiritual armor on, or do you need a minute to go and strap up? See, it takes preparation. Every morning you should be prepared, putting on the armor of God. Every day you should be prepared to go out there and know that the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion. That's why the Bible says stay vigilant. What does that mean? You're prepared for the battle because you know it's coming. What will you do when ungodly thoughts come your way? Is your mind renewed, or do you need to have it renewed? See, a renewed mind will reject ungodly thoughts and replace them with the thoughts of God. But if you're not prepared for that, what's going to happen is going to roll around. Is that my thought? Is that, am I in sin? What's going on? What do I do with this thought? See, that's why we need to prepare. It's because life is going to present challenges and obstacles and things that come down our path that if we're unprepared for, are going to take us out. But when you're prepared for holiness, you're going to win in life. You're going to rule and reign because God is holy and you've been given the Holy Spirit that will prepare you. You know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Why would the Holy Spirit show you what's ahead in your future? So you're prepared, right? Even if the Holy Spirit shows you something bad, that doesn't mean it has to be a bad experience, because if the Holy Spirit shows you something bad, what's he doing? He's saying it's okay. I'm showing it to you now so that you'll know when it comes not to freak out, not to give up, but to go through it because I'm with you. And I know that you're going to pass through this, but guess what? You're going to pass through it. You'll make it. Though you pass through the waters, though you pass through the flames, the book of Isaiah says, I'm with you. I will sustain you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Are you listening tonight? Now, how do we do this? Because you know, the Word of God never tells us what to do without also telling us how to do it. And then, like I said, God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit in order to do it. Isn't God a good God? I think so. So we need to know, how do we do this? How can we be prepared to seek the Lord with a faithful heart all our days? How are we prepared? Well, I think that this should go without saying, but I'm going to say it because I think it's one of the most important parts. And it's part of planning, part of preparation, that we have to intentionally give it thought. You know, when I talk about being prepared and I talk about planning, what comes with planning, my wife, man, she asks questions that I don't ask. We were just talking about this today in a meeting. I said, you know, my wife, I'll go into a meeting with somebody, I'll talk about something, and then I'll come back and I'll tell my wife, hey, I had the meeting, everything's good. She said, well, did you ask this? No. Well, what about, did you say that? No, I forgot about that. Well, wait. What did they have to say when you told them this? Well, I didn't tell them that, number one, and they did say that, but they didn't say this. And well, why didn't you ask? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how to ask the questions that you ask, you know? But part of the reason why is because sometimes when I go into these situations, I've got one thing on my mind. I'm not prepared for the 11 things that she's going to ask me about afterwards. I just prepared for the one. But see, when you intentionally give holiness thought, it starts to open up a world to you. It starts to open up life to you. I want to read to you 1 Peter chapter 1. I know I had you turn to Hebrews, but bear with me. I'm going to put this in the Passion Translation, okay? I just like the way that it said this. It says this in 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16 in the Passion Translation. I'll put it up on the overhead so you can follow along. It says, so then, prepare your hearts and minds for action. Notice, we need to be prepared to seek the Lord with a loyal heart all our days. So it says, prepare your hearts and your what? Your minds. That's the realm of your thought. Prepare your hearts and your minds for action. If you're going to be holy, then you've got to think about how that looks in your life. What is it going to take for me to be holy? He goes on to say, stay alert and fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. How do you fix your hope? With your thoughts, right? I'm not going to think about fear. I'm not going to think about what's bad. I'm not going to dwell on my past mistakes. I'm not going to dwell on what the devil is doing. No, I'm going to fix my hope. I'm going to take my heart and my mind, and I'm going to set in front of it a picture of holiness. That's how this works. Fix your hope on the marvelous grace. What is that? The ability of God on your behalf that you couldn't do otherwise, that is coming to you. God will empower you to do the things that he's calling you to do. Notice it goes on and says, for when Jesus Christ is unveiled, a greater measure of grace will be released to you. As God's obedient children, never again shape your lives by the desires that you followed when you didn't know better. Don't be led by your old self, by your old sinful desires. Don't be led backwards. You've got a future-facing hope. You've got a hope that's ahead of you. You've got Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. You've got the Holy One living on the inside of you. You don't have to be bound by your sin and your past any longer. Don't be thinking and dwelling and staying in that place. No, you start to take a look at Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. Notice he says, instead of that, instead, shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you. I love that. Shape your lives. If you're going to shape something, it has to take intentionality. Anybody ever done wood carving, or you've done, clay and working with that, any sort of things like that? What are you doing? You're intentionally thinking about how you want that thing to look, or how you want the outcome to be. If you've ever done woodworking, most of the time you go in with a plan. You don't just start cutting, right? What do they say? Measure twice and cut once. That means put twice as much thought as you do into the action. So he says, shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you. For Scripture says, you are to be holy because I am holy. God says, be holy for I am holy. If we're going to be holy as God is holy, we have to think about, what is God like? In fact, the New King James Version says to gird up the loins of your mind. That's quite a way of saying it, isn't it? Gird up thine loins of thine mind, right? We don't talk like that. What does it even mean to gird up the loins of your mind? Well, in this day and age, remember they had the long robes and things like that. And if they were going to walk, or if they were going to run at a faster pace, they would take those robes and they would bunch them up, and then they would wrap them around themselves. In fact, their belts weren't like our belts where they have a buckle or anything that would strap to them. They did have things like that, but for the most part, their belt was a long strip of fabric that they would gird themselves with. They would wrap it around themselves and around themselves and around themselves until it was really tight, and they could tuck it into itself, and then they could hang their bag, they could hang their sword in that, and they could take their robes and they could gird themselves, tuck it into that belt so that they could have greater movement. So what is he saying? He's saying, prepare yourself to be in thought. Wrap this thing around you. Notice he says, prepare the loins of your mind. The way that we do that is by thinking about God, thinking about his word, to be wrapped up in the word of God. I'm going to invite Ian to come on up at this time. This is my friend Ian. Ian oversees our video department. Give Ian a hand as he comes up. He's a good man. And Ian, would you just get a close-up shot of this? This is an actual page out of one of the first edition King James Bibles, okay? Look how worn the edges are there. You can kind of see it on this side over here. The edges of that are worn out. I mean, this thing's old. This thing's been used. Pastor Jim and Deborah had a page like this that Christians had been reading over that, and you could literally see the tears that were pouring out of their eyes onto the pages. I have one of my old study Bibles here. Ian, can you get a shot of this? I just want you to take a look at this guy here. I preached with this Bible for a while, but mostly I studied from this Bible. Do you see that? See how worn that is right there? The reason why it's so worn is because of use. I had this Bible for a long time. I actually had it rebound, okay? You can kind of see there's a crease right here along this edge there. I had to have this Bible rebound because I wore it out. I heard a long time ago that if your Bible is worn out, your life won't be. I want to show you one more Bible here. This was one of Pastor Jim's Bibles from back in the day. Ian, can you just get a hold of some of the stuff that he did in there? Look at all the, can you get, oh, I don't know if you can get that. It's really bright. We're getting it there. There we go. Isn't Ian a good cameraman? He's the best, all right? Do you see all the things circled and highlighted, and you see how worn that is? Okay? Let me try something else here, Ian. Let me find one of the front pages here. Look at, he's got sermon notes in the front of the Bible right there at the top of that. He's got notes all throughout this Bible, and this Bible is just, look at this page right here. Look at all the highlights. It's like every scripture is highlighted here. He's got, you know, Syrophoenician's daughter, Mark 7, little reference there as you go on in the pages. This is the verse that I hold this open to in my office. I keep this open. But, I mean, oh, there's a picture of Pastor Jim right there. I didn't even know that was in there. Looks like Luke. Man, okay. But he's got, it's this Bible is worn. Thank you, Ian. I appreciate you, my brother. Give Ian a hand as he goes. Why do I show that to you? Here's the reason why. I told you for 30 years. I've been studying the Word. For 30 years, I've been going through it. When I tell you in the morning, I go through the Old Testament. In the evening, I go through the New Testament. Because what am I doing? I'm preparing myself. I'm getting prepared. Because I need that Word for some day. I need that Word for today. I need that Word for tomorrow. I need that Word for next week. I need that Word. I'll be writing notes. Now, I don't write notes in the Bible because I don't carry that Bible with me everywhere I go. I put it in my phone. And there's times where I'll pull out my phone and I'll look at the note that I wrote that morning. Times where I'll go back to that note when I'm looking up something or when I've got something that comes up, I'll refer back to what it is God spoke to me. This last year, I went through the New Living Translation. They had a chronological study Bible. I thought, man, I just really felt impressed to God to go through it. Man, I tell you, it blessed me. It really blessed me. And I had a note that I put down for 2024 of the chronological Bible study notes. I've got some rich stuff in there that God was just opening up and showing me. And then this year I thought, well, I'm not doing the chronological study this year. I'm just continuing my normal studies. But I put a new note, 2025, Holy Spirit thoughts. Why? Because I'm getting prepared. I'm getting prepared for what it is because God's going to speak to me. And as God speaks to me, I know that I need to give it thought. Because when God says something, we ought to give him the respect that he deserves to think about it, to mull it over, to remember it, to make note of it, and to do something with it. That's what it's going to take, guys. That is what it's going to take for us to live a life of holiness. We have to intentionally give it thought. But not just think about it. There's something else we got to do with it, and that is that we have to make moves towards holiness. Make moves towards holiness. I had you turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Are you there? Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 22. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 22. It says, let us draw near. Everybody say, draw near. With a true heart. Everybody say, heart. Notice you cannot draw near to God in the flesh. No flesh will glory in his presence. In fact, if we saw God in the flesh, I think that we'd probably fall down dead. It's only in the Spirit. Why? Because God is Spirit. Because God is holy. That's why the holy men and women of God in the Old Testament, you see when they had an encounter with God, they say, woe is me, for I'm a sinful person. And I met the Lord face to face. Isaiah, here he is pronouncing. He pronounces six woes. And then all of a sudden he meets up with God, and the seventh woe he pronounces is on himself. Woe is me, for I'm an unclean man with unclean lips. But now that Jesus has come, now that we've been cleansed, now that we've been blood washed, we've been given access by faith into the grace in which we stand. And so he says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, because you have been cleansed, because your conscience has been cleared, now you can make a move. You couldn't make that move before. We couldn't connect with God in our own efforts. We could not connect with God in our sinful condition, in our state. No, God had to initiate. He had to come as his son. He had to now open up the gospel to the world. And now that we've seen it, now that we've been raised again to life, we were dead, but now we've passed through into life. Now we can make a move. Because dead people don't move, in case you hadn't noticed. But when you're alive, you don't just sit there thinking. No. Once you've thought, once you've got the plan, once you're prepared, then you make moves towards holiness. You know, sometimes we can be our biggest critic. We aren't perfect, so we give up or we condemn ourselves. Oh, man. But, you know, the Lord is patient. He's like a father of children. He waits while we learn and while we grow. Now, don't get it wrong. He disciplines us, but he disciplines us for our good. And he reinforces his discipline with instruction and love. So rather than just sit there and say, well, I didn't do it perfect, I'm unholy, I just can't do this, rather than just stop and do nothing, no, make a move. Make a move towards holiness. What's your next move? For some of you guys, it might be consistency in church. My next move is to keep coming consistently, to come back again and again and again. Y'all are here on Wednesday night, so I may not need to say this to you guys by and large, but for some people, you know, those other people that go to the other church services, not you, but maybe it's more than one service a week. Maybe it's more than one service a month for some of them. Come on, my goodness. But maybe it's consistency in church. What's your next move? Is it a Bible reading plan? You know, I like I said, I've been in this 30 years, and I'm still using Bible reading plans. Our pastors that preach in this pulpit, many of them do that every year, or they're on some sort of Bible reading plan because they're growing in the things of God. Is it dedicated time during the day to pray? Maybe you've never said, I'm going to spend this time in prayer, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, whatever it is. You know, most of the time people say, I don't have an hour to pray. Well, do you got 5 minutes? Yeah. You got 20 minutes in the car on the commute to work? Yeah, I'd have to turn off K-Rock. I can't think of the other ones right now. I'm just, because I've been on K-Love and all the other ones, Air One and all the good ones, right? 100.3, we're blessed to have so many. But maybe it's even to turn that off. You know, a good thing can be a distraction from time with God if you're filling in your time with good things and not the God things. Nothing wrong with listening to Christian music. Nothing wrong with worshiping the Lord. That's a great thing to do. I would encourage you to worship God in your commute. But man, if you haven't had time just to pray, spend time talking with God. The commute's a great time to do that. It might be a dedicated time. I remember one time I was interning at a church in San Diego. My radio broke, okay? I was living in Moreno Valley, driving to San Diego, and I had no radio. You know what I did for that commute? Prayed all the way down and all the way back. Hallelujah. I had a lot of prayer time. But it was a move, right? Any move towards holiness is a move towards God because God is holy. So when I talk about church, church is holy. Why? Because it's associated with God. It's God's house. And God's holy. Therefore, his church is a holy church. His word is holy. That's why it's printed on the cover. What does that say right there? Holy Bible. This is a holy word. Why? Because it's God's word and God is holy. Therefore, his word is holy. Even our Christian fellowship is holy. Anything connected to God is holy. You are holy. Prayer is holy. Worship is holy. Giving is holy. Everything that we do as a Christian that's connected with God is a holy thing. So what's your next move? And if it's connected to God, guess what? Then it's a holy move. And it's the right move. And let me encourage you. I know I keep drumming this in, but after 30 years of being a Christian, I'm still taking steps towards holiness. God's not finished with me yet. If he was, I'd be beamed up into heaven. But I'm still here. So he's still got something for me to do, but guess what? He's still doing something with me. Praise the Lord. I am not perfect, but I am being perfected. You know, my wife and I, we took a trip this past year for our anniversary. We were up in Carpinteria area. We went up to Summerlin. This is us on our anniversary date. Aren't we cute? Everybody say, aw. This is when I grew the goatee. So if you want to know where it came from, it was on vacation right there. So praise the Lord. But we were on vacation, and we were with the kids, but it was our anniversary. And so we were out there, and we went up to a place called Summerland, which is in between Carpinteria and Santa Barbara. Cute little town, little shops and all that kind of stuff. And we drove in, and we were going to go get lunch somewhere, and there's these little furniture stores we wanted to go to. And so we rolled up, and we found a parking spot. We were walking up. I saw two ladies, and they were sitting at a table talking. And so we were just shopping around the store that they were at, and they were sitting there outside. And I thought, you know, as I was walking by, I heard them talking, and it almost sounded like therapy. Like there was a therapy session going on in a retail store. And I thought, if that's what's going on right there, that's really tacky. You know, because everybody's around, everybody's here, and you're just spilling all your business with people shopping and trying to celebrate their anniversary and look at furniture that's too expensive for them to buy. So, you know, like, you guys need to go somewhere else and do that, you know, go somewhere private. But as we were walking away, I talked to my wife about it. I said, Jess, like, did you hear what they were talking about? She goes, yeah, and I saw some tarot cards out too. I went, okay. So then we're walking out of the store, and one of the ladies is walking out, and her husband was waiting for her at the car, and he's like, oh, yeah, did you get the tarot cards read? And she's like, yeah. He goes, do you feel better? And she says, yeah, I feel so much better. My wife and I are just there going, gosh, these people are so deceived. They don't even understand. So then we went later on that day to the Santa Barbara Mission. That's what's actually behind us. They call that the jewel of the California missions. Now, you can't go inside of that building behind us unless you go to a mass. You have to go to a church service to actually see the inside of that building. Whereas most of the other ones, you can take a tour, you can see a lot of the place. This one is pretty locked down. And they charge you a lot of money to walk through a little piece of this mission that doesn't tell you much about the mission. It tells you a lot about the indigenous animals, the indigenous peoples. It tells you about everything other than the mission, you know. There's a little mission mixed in there, but really it was about the Channel Islands. It was about the birds. It was about the foxes. It was about all this other stuff. And I'm going, this is crazy. Where's Jesus? Because I know the reason why they made these missions, they were bringing Jesus to the people. It wasn't, you know, just because they wanted to come in and take over. And I know that there's all sorts of narratives and stories. I'm not here to argue any of that kind of stuff. You know, many of these people, if you study their lives, they really did have a love for God. They really did have a love for people. And they were spreading the gospel with the best that they knew at that time. You know, so if I was there during that time, I don't know what I'd be doing, what I would have been trained like. So I'm not going to judge them. I just know that here was a place that was dedicated to God at one time, okay, and now you're paying a lot of money to keep this place going, and there's nothing about Jesus really about it. And so we were kind of like discouraged by that. And then we walked out. I don't know if you can see on the ground down to the left, there's like, you know, the asphalt, the blacktop there, and then it looks like chalk. Can you see that on the picture, kind of? I know it's a little hard to see, it's a little overexposed, but there were a lot of chalk drawings on the ground. And the reason why is because they had some sort of an art thing, you know, they had, I don't know what else they were doing, the, you know, a little fair or something like that. But as we were walking around, we were looking at all these chalk drawings. Some of them were beautiful. Some of them were of Santa Barbara. Some of them were the plants and the animals and the foxes and the Channel Islands and all that good stuff. But then one of them was of the mission. And over the mission, okay, Pastor Jess on the front row, she can confirm this. Over the mission, they had this large gargoyle-looking thing that was like, and we were just sitting there like, what the? How did they let this happen in front of a place that still holds church services, that they're using the word of God in a place that's supposed to be dedicated to the Lord, and you're going to have a chalk drawing of a demon crouching over your mission? If it was me, I'd be out there rebuking that thing in the name of Jesus. I would have done the Holy Ghost shuffle all over it. You know, I'd have been there with some holy water, you know, coming out of the hose, that holy water coming out of the hose. I'd have been blessing that thing out of it, you know, just like, you aren't going to come and draw that on my blacktop. Uh-uh. But to us, it looked like a picture of what probably was happening in the spirit. See, even if society and even if the church are taking steps away from holiness, we have to say it doesn't matter where society goes, doesn't matter where the church goes. Listen, even if Pastor Dan ever started going the wrong direction, stop going my direction. What does the Bible say? Follow me as I follow Christ. That means if I don't follow Christ, quit following. Find where Jesus is and you follow Jesus. You make moves towards holiness, not moves towards everything else that the world is doing, because they're crazy. They're following every woman desire. Does it make you feel better? Oh, yeah, I feel better right now because the devil liked the fact that I was reading his cards. And he'll leave you alone just long enough till he can come in and steal, kill, and destroy, which means something for us. It means that we have to be protective of our holiness. We have to protect our holiness. It means we can't allow things to creep in. Can't allow that demon to come and sit. We got to cast those things out in the name of Jesus. We can't allow our old life, like we said. No, we got to think about holiness. Be prepared, start making moves towards holiness, and then protect it. What does that look like? It means to get anything out of your life that gets in the way of God. Anything. I'm going to put a quote up on the board from J. Wilbur Chapman. He said this. He said, the rule that governs my life is this: anything that dims my vision of Christ, or takes away my taste for Bible study, or cramps my prayer life, or makes Christian work difficult is wrong for me. And I must, as a Christian, turn away from it. That is so profound. Because many times it's anything that doesn't feel good, anything that's hard work, anything that takes me away from my rest and relaxation, I'm going to get that out of my life. And yet this is so opposite, isn't it? Anything that dims my vision of Christ or takes away my taste for Bible study or cramps my prayer life or makes Christian work difficult is wrong for me, and I must, as a Christian, turn away from it. If there's things in our life that are stopping us from a holy life, and notice the things that he points out. Those are all things connected with God. Your service, your Bible study time, your prayer time. It's not just Christian disciplines. No. These are holy things. Why? Because they're connected to God, and God is holy. Let's turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 19. In Ephesus, there was amazing things taking place. Miracles were breaking out. The word was getting out. People were being impacted by Jesus. In fact, there were people who caught on, and they started to be copycats, and they imitated what Paul would say, and they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I cast you out. And the demons said, well, Jesus we know, Paul we heard about, but who are you? And then they jumped on him, and they beat the snot out of him, and they ran bloodied and bruised out of the presence of that demon. And so this story spreads, and people start fearing God. And the word is getting out. Notice what it says in Acts chapter number 19, verse number 19. It says this. It says, also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, that 50,000 pieces of silver was a drachma. That would be one day's wage. Okay? So if you want to calculate that, go ahead and do the math. One day of your wage times 50,000, and that would be what the value presently would be of the books that they sold, potentially in the millions and millions of dollars of the things that they burned in the sight of all. Why? Because there was something that was getting in the way of their relationship with God. And so they brought it, and because it was getting in the way of their relationship with God, they burned it. I've told stories of when I was just really getting on fire with God and coming and taking all my old CDs and all the things that were dragging me away. My friend came over. He had explicit lyric CDs. We shattered them all on my doorstep. Remember another time we ran and grabbed all my comic books, man. And I used to love comic books. I had number ones. I had all the good stuff. You know, this whole Infinity War thing that Marvel put out in their movies. I had all those, right? We burned them all to ash. In fact, it was kind of a humorous story. We started with a barbecue in this guy's backyard, and then he brought out another little stovetop grill, and then he brought out a little hibachi. And I'm like, how many grills you got in there, man? And we filled them all. We burned them all. And the ones that we couldn't burn because we had filled them all up, we just ripped to shreds. Why? Because we were getting things out of our life. Remember there was a time that somebody who I love and trust, they gave me a book, and it was a gift. You know, they were just like, hey, I thought this was funny and thought it was good. And so they gave me this book, and so I brought it to my house, and it was on a Sunday. And so I brought it home, and I remember just sitting there, and I was going to start reading it, but then I just had a check in my spirit. And I said, that's interesting. And because it was on a Sunday, I just thought, well, you know what? I'm not going to read that today because I'm going back to church tonight. And, you know, Sunday's a holy day. It's the Lord's Day. And so I'm not going to read this because it was a secular book. And so I said, I'm just not going to read it today. And I'm just going to keep my mind on the Lord. And so followed that leading of the Lord. So then the next day rolled around. And that night, we just had a weird feeling. And it was just so strange. I mean, it was just kind of an eerie thing. And I remember being up late, and I just couldn't get to sleep. And I was like, okay, Lord, what's happening? You know, how come I'm not able to get to sleep? I'm not feeling a prompt to pray. You know, you're not talking right now. And so, like, what's going on? And in my spirit, that book came up. I thought, that's odd. So I went, and I took the book, and I took it outside, just placed it right outside the door. I came back inside, went to bed, and slept like a baby. And when I prayed about that book again the next day, the Lord told me there's things inside of that book, not all of it, but there's things inside of that book that you don't need in your life. And so I talked to the person that gave it to me. I said, hey, I just want to let you know, I had a check in my spirit about that. They said, that's funny, because I had the same check after I gave it to you. I had a copy too, and they were like, and I had the same thing happen. I was like, okay, good, because I felt bad throwing it away because it was a gift, you know, but like, they go, no, I threw mine away too. I was going to talk to you, but I'm like, okay, good. I'm glad we're on the same page. Another time, we're on vacation out in Arizona. We're in a place right outside of Sedona. Sedona is a hot spot. They call it magnetic central. I don't even know what they What if vortex areas? Yeah, they've even got Jeep tours. You can go up to these spiritual zones when the sun's setting. People are standing in circles, being mindless and allowing demons to come and speak to them and to feel things. And so we were going there for the beauty and for the hiking and all that kind of stuff. But we stayed in a city outside. And it was a little cheaper, so you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we drove in. But we found this house, and so we went into this house. And I remember going into this house. And as I went into this house, man, there was a creepy feeling. In fact, again, my wife is here on the front row. She can confirm this. We didn't tell the kids this, too. But the lights, we're watching church. That's right, we're watching church. The lights started just turning off in the house all by themselves. And you know, there's like electrical problems, and then there's the hairs on the back of your neck are standing up, okay? This was not electrical problems. And all of a sudden, there was all this weird stuff happening. And I remember, okay, what's going on in this house? So I went and I found some books. I took those books outside, and guess what? The light stayed on after that. And we prayed, we rebuked that foul spirit. We always pray over any room that we go and stay in, hotel rooms. I go in there, I find that Book of Mormon in the drawer, and I take that thing. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I throw it in the trash outside, and I just let that thing go, and I make sure the Gideon's Bible is right there on the side, you know? That's just me. Because God didn't write the Book of Mormon, right? The Bible is His Holy Scriptures, and you know, there may be people that want to argue. Again, I'm not here to argue doctrines, because it's by faith in the blood of Jesus alone. And if anybody comes preaching another gospel, the Bible says, let him be condemned. That's enough said. I've had people come to me when I preached on these things, and especially on Acts 19:19, have one guy come to me. He says, Pastor, man, you should have seen my trash can after I left church. He goes, I had all this stuff in there. I had East Indian mysticism books. I had chakras. I had crystals in there. I had Deepak, man. He's laughing. I threw Deepak right on the top, man. You know, even the self-help stuff. Why? Because if it's not God's word for you, if you've got a check in your heart, if it's taking you away from God, it doesn't need to stay in your life. What about things outside of physical things? There might be immaterial things, things that are holding you back from God. Things like telephone numbers in your phone that connect you to things that you don't need to be connected to. You might need to delete those things. Maybe there's websites. Maybe there's images. There might be movies that you have that you had back when they were doing DVDs, and you need to take those DVDs and you need to throw them in the trash. Hello? There might be drug paraphernalia, might be T-shirts or things that were connected with an old flame that you don't need to be connected to that flame anymore. Because that flame, if it lights up now, will be lit on fire by hell. Things you might need to get out of your life. How about other immaterial things? What about ungodly thoughts? So you guys need to think on and intentionally think on the Word of God. Why? So you can be prepared to make a step towards God in your mind, being holy and devoted to the Lord and thinking the right thoughts, thinking the right things. It's very important that you, in your mind and your spirit, link up together so that you can rule over the flesh and not be ruled by the flesh. Because when your flesh and your mind link up, they're going to war against your spirit, and they're going to dominate you. You don't want to live that life. How about attitudes? Sometimes we carry ungodly attitudes. We don't even realize that we have them. But that's why, husbands and wives, it's important to listen to your spouse, because they're your faith partner. And if they're saying, hey, that's a bad attitude, that's not something that you need to be working with. You need to work on that with the Lord. Think on what the Bible says about that attitude, and then make a move towards holiness. Let's get that attitude out of your life. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's complaining, right? And you don't need to fast complain. Fasting, you know, says that you're going to pick it up later and do it again. You know, like, I'm just taking this time off from that. You know, like, I'm not going to eat for a period of time. Well, I'm fasting, complaining. Well, how about we just get rid of complaining, right? Let's not fast it and go back to it later on when it's convenient. No. Let's just completely stop the complaints, right? The Bible says do all things without grumbling or disputing. New International Version says without complaining or arguing. Maybe it's arguments that we need to get rid of. Maybe it's any number of things. Maybe it's certain words or things that are immaterial that you know are keeping you from the holy life of God. We have to be protective of our holiness. That's why a lot of times, you know, my wife and I, on Saturday nights especially, but even Friday nights, because I know that I have a Saturday morning service, we don't do a lot on those nights. Why? Because we're preparing for church that next day. All today I've been in study, I've been in prayer, I've been on my knees before the Lord. Why? Because I knew that I was going to stand in this pulpit, making sure that I'm prepared for a holy thing, making sure that I'm right with God and that there's no hypocrisy in this pulpit. Why? Because we're preparing ourselves for holiness. In our lives, every day, we have to be prepared to seek the Lord with a faithful heart for all of our days. Long term. Long term. So how do we do this? We intentionally give holiness thought. We make moves towards holiness, and we protect our holiness. As we do these things, we're going to live the deeper life of holiness. With holiness, we're going to see the Holy One who is the Lord. Come on, did you guys get something from the Word of the Lord tonight? Would you take a moment in prayer with me? Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes? And let's just take a moment. What is God speaking to you? This is a holy moment, so I'm going to ask no one to get up and leave during this time. The preacher did good on time tonight, so you've got some time to just take a moment with God. What is God speaking to you? Even if you're joining us online tonight, I would encourage you, don't log off just because there's no activity on the screen right now. Take a moment in prayer with us. Connect with God. And just say, God, what are you speaking to me? And then listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. What's God speaking to you? I believe that tonight maybe God is talking to you about the intentionality of thought towards holiness. He might be putting a scripture in your spirit, maybe a word or a phrase that you've got there. Write it down. Take a moment and make a note. God spoke this to me. If you want to open your Bible and find the scripture and underline it, go ahead. What's God speaking to you? Maybe tonight God is showing you your move. What is the action? What's the step towards holiness? You might have known it already when we were in the message, but maybe now he's bringing it back to you again. It's just bubbled up in your spirit. Come to the surface. This is your next move towards holiness. What is God speaking to you? He might be showing you how to protect your holiness. What does that look like? He might be showing you something in your house that needs to get out. He might be showing you an attitude to guard against. Maybe words that he's saying, I don't want them to be a part of your language any longer. Things like divorce. Things like I hate. You can hate that which is evil because God hates it. We can hate what God hates. But if our language is stopping us from being a holy people, we need to change. Father, tonight, we're committed to continue that which we stood for last week and this week, God. We thank you, Lord, that that commitment, even though we may not be perfect at it, God, that you're patient with us, walking us through this life, correcting us and disciplining us when we get off, but Lord, loving us through it and giving us loving instruction. And tonight we receive that instruction, God. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for your grace to accomplish it, God. We set our hope fully on that which you've given to us in Christ Jesus. We prepare our hearts and our minds to seek you and to serve you in holiness fully all of our days. In Jesus' name, we're all in agreement, we say amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord one more great big praise tonight?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.